Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, while we're taking on American immigration, it's an issue that's not just complex. It feels like it's everywhere in our news, our conversations. You see the headlines, you hear the debates, and honestly, it can feel pretty overwhelming. So our goal here is to try and cut through some of that noise. We're diving into a specific paper today, one that looks at the American immigration crisis, but through the lens of various academic leadership theories, I'm really interested to see what core insights we can pull from it, you know, about what effective leadership might look like in such a polarizing, constantly changing situation. What kind of leader, or maybe what kind of leadership approach could actually make a difference here?
That's exactly it. And this source material is compelling because it applies these, well, established academic concepts, drawing a lot from Nordhaus's work to a very real-world, very high-stakes problem. It doesn't just list theories. It tries to analyze what effective leadership might achieve and, importantly, the limitations of certain approaches when you're facing something this multifaceted. It should give us maybe a structured way to think about a problem that often feels, well, incredibly unstructured.
Okay, so let's dive in. The source material, right away, highlights something we probably all feel. American immigration is, quote, never any less than complex. It's often a real hot-button issue. What does the paper suggest are the core things making it so challenging right now? Especially thinking about, you know, the recent headlines on border crossings, unaccompanied children, that sort of thing.
Yeah, the paper really digs into that hot-button aspect. It notes the consistent surges in border crossers, and particularly the concerning rise in unaccompanied kids in recent years. And it points out something interesting. While the current administration, the Biden administration, faced a lot of political heat for being too weak, the data actually shows this kind of influx happens annually around this time.
An annual pattern.
Right. But despite that, the paper notes opponents specifically use the increase in accompanied children to push for a, quote, decidedly harsher stance. And that harsher stance, it really came through in the zero tolerance policy.
Right.
This policy, it mandated removing children from parents' custody, holding them separately, didn't matter the age.
Wow.
And what the paper highlights is the reaction. The separation sparked, quote, outrage from both political parties. It really became a major national talking point in the 2020 election. For a lot of voters, according to the analysis, this specific issue really drove home a desire for leaders who didn't just have the, you know, the necessary traits and skills, but also showed clear compassion and humanity.
Okay, so leadership in crisis. When we talk about leaders here, how does the paper actually define leadership? What's the basic idea we're working with?
Well, it uses Nordhaus's definition, which is pretty standard. Leadership is the process whereby an individual influences a group of individuals to achieve a common goal. And it makes a key distinction early on. Is leadership about inherent traits, like you're born a leader, or is it more of a process anyone can learn and adapt? This source definitely leans into it being a process.
Well, process, okay.
Yeah. And it also separates leadership, which is often about setting the big policy direction, from management, which is more about carrying out those policies.
Yeah.
You need both, obviously.
That makes sense. The vision and the execution.
Exactly. Especially for something huge like managing immigration. The leader sets the compass, managers navigate the ship, so to speak.
So what about the other side then? The people being influenced. What's the role of those following the leader in all this?
Right. Followership. It's defined as the process whereby individuals accept the influence of others to accomplish a common goal. So it's not passive. It's about accepting influence, an active choice.
Active. Interesting.
Yeah, and the research really stresses that followers are hugely valuable. Their power often goes unrecognized. It talks about the Kelly typology, probably the most recognized way of classifying followers. It highlights exemplary followers.
Exemplary followers.
Yeah, those are ones who are proactive, focused on the goals, but also, crucially, willing to give constructive criticism. They're not just yes men. They're contrasted with, you know, alienated or passive followers.
That sounds vital, especially in a crisis where you need honest feedback. But what about the downsides? Can followership go wrong?
Oh, definitely. The paper brings up this concept of the henchmen.
Henchmen, okay.
These are followers who stick to a toxic leader, maybe because they need to fit in or stay in good standing. And the paper argues this would obviously be a major detriment to tackling something like immigration effectively. You could end up sidelining ethics just for loyalty.
That sounds pretty dangerous.
It is, and it's a concerning dynamic. The paper does note, though, that there's actually little research on this specific henchman concept. So, something to watch.
Okay, so we have leaders influencing, followers accepting or resisting. Let's get into the core of it now. The specific leadership theories. How does the paper apply these to the immigration crisis? This feels like where we might see potential paths or maybe roadblocks.
Right. Let's start with the traits approach. This was really popular back in the 20th century. The basic idea was that leaders are born with certain inherent qualities. The paper mentions a key survey identifying major leadership traits, things like intelligence, self-confidence, determination, integrity, sociability.
The class.
Exactly. And the source argues that, frankly, all of these traits are required to address the complicated issue of immigration. It also briefly touches on the big five personality traits like extroversion, conscientiousness, and how they might link to leadership.
So focusing on what you're born with, that sounds maybe a bit inflexible for something like immigration that's always changing. Does the paper see limitations there?
It does, absolutely. That's the main weakness highlighted. It struggles with situational context. It doesn't adapt well. So applying it to immigration, the paper suggests it's just too broad to really gauge effectiveness. It's ambiguous and uncertain because it doesn't flex with the situation.
Makes sense. Okay, so if inherent traits aren't the whole picture, what about the skills approach? That sounds more focused on what leaders can, you know, learn or develop.
Exactly. The skills approach shifts from who the leader is to what the leader can do.
Mm.
It looks at the three skills approach: technical, human, and conceptual skills. The paper notes how these might be needed differently at different levels. Top management might need less technical, more conceptual, while middle managers need a good mix of all three to be effective.
Right.
Applying it to immigration, the paper points out it's not just that leaders need skills, but which ones. For example, technical understanding isn't just policy. It might mean really understanding border operations on the ground,
which might be missing sometimes at the top levels.
Could be. And human skills aren't just team management, but navigating the really personal, often traumatic experiences involved. That adds a whole other layer. The paper suggests this approach would best be suited to someone who has been tasked with issues like border security, someone already familiar with the different facets, because it relies on that career experience.
Okay, so we've got traits, who you are, skills, what you do. What about the relationship between the leader and the team? The paper mentions leader-member exchange theory, or LMX. How does that play out here?
LMX focuses right on that individual dyadic relationship. It talks about how leaders tend to form in-groups and out-groups.
In-groups and out-groups.
Yeah. The in-group gets more responsibility, has a closer relationship, more influence. The out-group basically just does what's required. Now, for the immigration crisis, the paper sees real problems with this. First, it argues LMX does not promote fairness and clearly does lead to favoritism.
You can see how that would be a problem.
Definitely. Imagine policy being shaped by who's in the leader's inner circle, not necessarily the best evidence or widest input. Plus, the theory itself is seen as not fully formed. It apparently fails to prescribe how substantive interactions are formulated. So the path to a solution feels unclear, because it doesn't tell you how to build those crucial relationships effectively across the whole team.
So potential for unfairness, maybe even division within the team. Not ideal for tackling a crisis. What about path goal theory then? How does that suggest leaders should motivate their teams?
Path goal is all about how leaders motivate followers to accomplish designated goals. The aim is better overall performance and satisfaction. It outlines four main leader behaviors: directive, supportive, participative, and achievement-oriented.
Okay, so different styles for different situations.
Kind of. A directive leader gives clear instructions. Supportive focuses on well-being. Participative involves followers and decisions. Achievement-oriented sets challenging goals. The theory suggests leaders should match these behaviors to follower characteristics, like do they need structure, do they want involvement, and also to the task characteristics. Is it ambiguous? Is it repetitive?
So tailoring the approach.
Exactly. For immigration, a leader might be directive for an urgent task, but more participative when brainstorming long-term solutions. But the paper points out weaknesses here too. It's seen as convoluted, a bit complex, and it makes predictions that cannot necessarily be guaranteed.
Hmm. Risky.
Yeah, the concern raised is that given the already muddled circumstances around immigration, this complex theory might actually further complicate the issue and affect the solution negatively. Add confusion instead of clarity.
Right. Adding complexity to complexity isn't usually helpful. Okay, so shifting from motivation to pure action, the behavioral approach. This sounds like it focuses just on what leaders do.
That's right. Exclusively on the behavior of the leader. It boils down actions into two main types: task behaviors, how goals get done, and relationship behaviors, building trust, respect. Some early studies called these initiating structure, task, and consideration relationship.
Got it.
The paper brings in the leadership grid here, suggesting that for something like immigration, the ideal is team management.
Team management.
Yeah, that's where accomplishments are from committed people who share a common interest, which leads to mutual respect. High focus on both task and people. The paper really stresses that given how sensitive this issue is, extremes should not be considered, like being only task-focused or only people-focused wouldn't work.
So finding that balance.
Exactly. A leader using this style would need to focus equally on the needs of the follower, in addition to what the goals of the administration are.
That team management idea, committed people, common interests, mutual respect, it sounds great on paper. But for an issue like immigration, which is so incredibly polarized, how realistic is finding that common interest? Does the source touch on that difficulty?
That's really the crux of it, isn't it? While the paper holds up team management as the ideal, the implication is that actually achieving that common interest in such a charged environment, well, it would take extraordinary leadership just to bridge those deep divides.
A huge challenge.
Absolutely. It's presented as an aspirational model. It demands leaders be incredibly skilled at building relationships while driving towards goals, especially when you're dealing with such deeply held opposing views and intense emotions.
Which leads us nicely into transformational leadership. Mm-hmm. This one gets a lot of buzz, often sounds very inspiring. What's the take here?
It is often seen as powerful. It involves a charismatic leader connecting with a captive audience, really appealing to people's emotions and values, aiming to, well, transform them and the situation. But the paper makes a really critical distinction here, introducing pseudo-transformational leadership.
Pseudo, like fake.
Essentially, yeah. The dark side. The paper describes these leaders as self-consumed, exploitive, and power-oriented, with warped moral values. And interestingly, it cites the previous administration as a good example of this, according to the source material itself.
Okay, so important note, that's the source's specific example and assessment.
Absolutely. We're reporting what the paper analyzes. It highlights this as a significant pitfall of a potentially powerful style. So while true transformational leadership could be effective, the paper says if handled with care and a capable leader who can stay firm when appealing to emotions, there's a real risk of the opposite happening, depending on who's leading and the context.
A fine line.
A very fine line. The paper also mentions criticisms, like there being no actual evidence of its effectiveness in certain situations, and that it can sometimes cater to elitism.
That's a really stark contrast, that true versus pseudo-transformational idea. And like the source points out, it certainly feels relevant looking back at recent political discourse. It makes you wonder, is there a way for a leader to genuinely tap into those powerful emotions, those values, to be truly transformational without slipping into that darker, self-serving path, especially on an issue that triggers such strong feelings?
That really is the tightrope walk, isn't it? The paper seems to suggest that authentic, ethical, transformational leadership could be incredibly valuable for immigration precisely because it can appeal to shared values and galvanize action. But the danger of it morphing into manipulation, a pseudo-transformational side, is a constant concern when emotions are running that high. It requires immense integrity from the leader.
Okay, one more approach to cover, situational leadership. This sounds like it might be especially relevant for an issue like immigration that is, as you said, always shifting.
It definitely sounds relevant on the surface. It's described as a living approach. The leader basically adapts to each situation.
Mm.
And that seems perfect, right? Because the crisis at the border is constantly shifting and moving. Things change day to day.
So the leader needs to change too.
Exactly. They need to be both direct and supportive as needed, and crucially, match their style to the follower's development level, which means considering their specific knowledge and commitment for the task at hand. The theory outlines four approaches: directing, coaching, supporting, or delegating. The leader chooses based on the follower and the situation.
Seems very practical.
It does. But again, the paper points out limitations. Apparently, there just aren't many studies backing it up definitively. There's an inadequate amount of data to really prove its effectiveness conclusively.
So promising in theory for a dynamic problem, but maybe the research hasn't quite caught up yet.
That seems to be the takeaway from the source, yes. Lots of intuitive appeal, but needs more empirical backing.
Wow. We've really journeyed through quite a few different ways of thinking about leadership today, from focusing on inherent qualities in the traits approach, all the way to the adaptability of situational leadership. Each one gives us a different lens, doesn't it? A different way to look at this incredibly complex American immigration crisis and leadership itself. It really just underscores there's no single easy fix here.
Absolutely. And that complexity, that lack of one perfect theory, leads us to maybe a final thought for you, the listener, to chew on. Given all these limitations, these potential downsides that are a source identified for each theory when you try to apply it to something as dynamic, as emotionally charged, as complex as immigration, what might it actually take for leaders to move past the political gridlock and find truly compassionate, effective solutions? Is it maybe some kind of blend of these approaches we discussed? Or perhaps is it something else entirely, something these academic frameworks don't quite capture that's needed to finally bridge these divides?